vet. Seriously. Gotta be trampled by Clydesdale. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. You got one earphone there?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the guest headphones are... The guest headphones, I think, are made by the same people that do the chairs. So they kind of work occasionally. Davey Nipples from Storm and the Balls in the house.
How are you?
I'm dandy, my friend. You know why I'm dandy? Because I don't have a seventh grade daughter that I'm having to raise. That
man. I've got a 9-year-old, and I can already see the writing on the wall. That's not a good place.
You said that he's going to turn out like daddy?
Yeah,
you're afraid of?
Yeah.
You can already see the pain. And
you know, at least he is a little boy.
In the corner.
Like, I don't think I can handle a little girl.
He is a handful, though. I went over to Strum and Davies once and we played Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We learned that Sarah Dillon doesn't like losing at games.
Were you beaten by a 9-year-old?
No, I had to leave halfway through the game.
Did he hear you?
I would have beaten him senseless.
Sarah warned us ahead of time. She's like, you know, I used to hate playing games when I was little.
Games. It's specifically Sorry. I had the worst time when I was, because my family thought it was hilarious that I would get so upset about it.
Does Sorry have the pop-o-matic action?
No,
is Sorry one of the games with the pop-o-matic? I'm thinking
that's
Trouble.
Yeah. Sorry is the little men that go around the board.
And send people home, but whoever you want, and if someone decides to pick on you, then they can send all of you guys home.
So it's pretty much the LaPrinzi boys double team on Miss Dillon in Sorry, and she got sent home and was a little upset and had to leave. Comments?
Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Megalodon jackpot has risen to $370 million for tonight's drawing. It has been growing since January 12th. Washington is one of 12 states in the Mega Millions game. A winner tonight would get two choices, $152 million in a lump sum, or famous in nearly $10 million a year for 25 years after taxes. A significant milestone at Portland International Airport, the 300 million passenger since its operations began 66 years ago has gotten into the airport. We don't know how they count these people. That's equivalent for one flight for every man, woman, and child living in the United States. These are boring statistics, aren't they?
This story is much less compelling than we thought it would be based on the headline.
And there's a picture of an airplane.
In case you're not really clear, in case you thought they were flying on a big pterodactyl that had a tube on its back, Flintstone style.
Fantastic.
Naomi Campbell will swap her catwalk outfits for broom, gloves, and safety vest when she begins mopping floors in New York's sanitation department March 19th. But Campbell, who was sentenced to community service as punishment for throwing her mobile phone at a housekeeper, will serve her 5-day sentence indoors.
5 whole days. How will she manage?
She's 36, accused by at least 3 employees of hitting or otherwise assaulting them. She blamed her temper on lingering resentment toward her father for abandoning her as a child.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Uh-huh.
Ah, good God. All right, well, she'll be in rehab before the week is over. You know that that's next for her and Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter. You know, Ann Coulter probably won't go to rehab, though. Somebody was joking about that yesterday because, you know, the whole business with the slur and so forth, and they were joking that Ann Coulter was going to end up in rehab next to Britney, but she won't. You know, Ann Coulter will stay out there living and walking among us and breathing oxygen that normal, decent people could be using up for now. All right.
Vice President Cheney, very disappointed, even saddened by the guilty verdict in the perjury trial of former Chief of Staff Scooter Libby.
Not much he can do about it, though. Especially cry. I imagine that Dick Cheney, like Bender on Futurama, he just, like, the front chest cavity, like, opens like a door, and inside, locked away deeper than the recesses of Dick Cheney's thorax, is one tiny small steel vial of tears. And that's actually all the tears he has. Those are all the tears he has access to, and he's saving them for something really important someday. He can't actually cry, but at some point, he will open the tear vial, and he will sprinkle them onto his face. And that'll be it. Those are all. The rest of his tears have to come from the faces of small children.
The sale of samurai swords could be banned in Britain following a string of attacks in recent years. The Home Office announced today at least 80 crimes involving the swords have been reported over the past 4 years. They want a ban to take place at the end of the year. Carrying a samurai sword in public already carries a maximum 4-year jail sentence. But under the ban, importing or hiring the weapon could result in up to 6 months in jail and an expensive fine.
Can you walk around with a samurai sword here? Like if it was decorative? If it was just sort of like for a goof?
What about the Shriners and all those people with the yellow teeth? They're right on the floats every year?
The people with the yellow teeth?
Yeah, the Shriners.
I think you're thinking of Spaniards.
No, I'm thinking of Shriners.
Why would he say Spaniards?
I don't know. I was going to say the British, but we just done British, and so it seemed like the comedy was our... We just done something about the Brits, so I didn't want to be redundant. So I was trying to think of, like, who has yellow teeth? And then Spaniards came to mind for some reason. I don't know why. Spaniards don't have yellow teeth.
Awkward.
They do reek of cauliflower, though. All of them. Every single one of them. Goddamn cauliflower. Here's Tim Riley.
A man has been found sleeping at Mary Tyler Moore's house.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A cleaning crew saw the smashed doors, called police, and came and arrested the 24-year-old man. The front of the house is shown in the opening credits of the Mary Tyler Moore Show tour.
Oh, not the actual. Okay, not the actual Mary.
No, nobody knows where Mary Tyler Moore lived.
I thought, like, literally, like, she came home and... I'm gonna rape you after all, kind of a whole, you know. Like, I felt like he was just sitting at home waiting for her.
That was...
No, but I can make the joke.
What is going on with you in the past 3 minutes?
I think this is
in the
much
coffee.
Too long. Listen to now. Go on.
No, but I can make that joke because it didn't happen.
No, you can't make that joke.
Because it was thwarted. It was thwarted.
I'm keeping track. We got Spaniards with yellow teeth raping Mary Tyler Moore.
The Spaniards aren't... The Spaniards aren't raping Tyler Moore. No one knows where she lives. Who knows? So this is what, in the Mary Tyler Moore house?
Yeah.
Oh, on the TV show?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a real place.
Me neither.
All right.
It's a real place.
You know what's a real place? It's the Brady house. You can get the Brady Bunch house, not the inside, but the outside, and it looks exactly the same as it. It hasn't changed. The owners are very smart about that. I don't think they make any money off of it, but the owners have kept that house looking exactly the same.
You can Studio City.
Yeah, you can drive, and you would drive right by. There's a little fence that they've added, but that's about it. So
right.
It was. I had to make some joke using the theme song. There was nowhere else to go. It had to be a one syllable. What could have said kill? I kill you after all.
Kill would be a lot better.
Kill. That's okay. Sure, the criminal justice system appreciates your input. All right. Well, there you go. Let's see. This is Tad. Hello, Tad. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Hey, Sarah, big fan.
Oh, thank you.
Are you there? Okay.
Because you're not a fan of me, just of Sarah?
No, I'm not a fan of you.
Okay.
Sarah.
Well, at least you're upfront about these things. How can I help you?
I want to ask you a question. You guys were talking about that Daniel Radcliffe, the Harry Potter kid, that nude photo that's been allegedly circulating.
It's not allegedly circulating. It is circulating. And okay. He's also not of age, which is the disturbing thing about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. According to the paper, he's 17. Now, let me ask you, if you distribute, view, or disseminate that image, aren't you engaging in child pornography? Not you specifically, but a person.
And by you mean you, Tad.
Oh, no, of course not. I wouldn't send that to you over and over again.
No. Thanks. I appreciate that. No, we actually had this discussion last week because it was also...
Oh, you did? Okay.
And he's naked in it?
He is. He's in a... This is the thing. He's in a play. I thought it was just topless.
No, he's in a play... I don't think...
He's full on frontal.
Daniel Radcliffe, who plays Harry Potter...
And the pictures are going around?
He's in a play, a stage play called Equus, I believe is how it's pronounced. Yeah. And he is in the altogether... He is tackle out, as they say in American. Mm-hmm. Now... And so, but it's been on like every, I mean, if people send it to me, but if people send it to Sarah, it's been on every blog on Earth. Like, hey, look at Harry Potter with his wand out. Ha, 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 ha.
With his Harry
Potter. Yeah, with his Harry Potter. 17-year-old girl. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
People be going crazy over that?
We had this discussion about whether it was illegal for us to be receiving a photo or to be not deleting it or if to have it on a blog. It's really weird. Like, you know what? Like, remember that movie American Beauty a few years ago?
Yeah.
Mina Savari gets all nude at the end of that, or topless. Right? She's only like 16 or 15 or something. Isn't that true? Mina Savari, there was no way she was an adult when she made that film. So I don't really know the answer to that.
Well, I thought it was a question that's
why don't you? Here's how you can find out. Why don't you call the FBI? And
I
say,
will do that.
I've got all of these pictures of a 17-year-old boy.
I told you.
Send it to Pete Townsend.
Send them to you.
To pass the Townsend test.
And one more thing on unrelated note. Do you remember that story about the guy who was having what you might call a romantic encounter with a horse in Washington?
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Pinion. Yeah, he got kicked.
Which city was that in?
It was in Ellensburg.
Okay.
No. It was an Enumclaw.
Yeah.
Did you take me out Enumclaw style?
No.
Please.
No. Raw.
Come on.
Here's. We'll just.
They call this Rick.
All right. Thank you. Enumclaw style. No, Lycus will do that for you though. It's is like a horse whinnying and a guy going like, oh, and then like, and then just some hoof prints as the horse runs away.
That's harsh.
Remind me to tell you something about that guy in just a second. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, I'll be back later, and I'll open the show.
Excellent.
Fantastic. There you go, kids. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have more from Tim Riley. We're getting nothing done today. We're getting a lot done, just nothing that we planned. Here's the thing about that guy in Enumclaw. I forget his name. His name is like Robert Pinion or Pinyard.
He's dead, right?
Oh, he's very dead.
Yeah.
He dead a long time. He's dead from...
punished from the inside.
Why do you say these things? Yes. No, here's the thing. It's a true story. This is local and relatable, by the way. Not so much relatable. In Enumclaw, which is in Washington,
right?
There was a very famous... This is, by the way, the single most viewed story in the history of the Seattle Times. If you go to SeattleTimes.com, this is, by like a factor of 10, the most viewed story on their website. This is a real story about a guy about like 10 years ago. There was a man who apparently had an ongoing series of encounters with a horse, in which the horse was, how do we put this?
It's a female horse?
No. There you go. That's the way to answer it. It was a male horse.
Okay.
And he, you know how like sometimes you receive a letter in your mailbox?
Oh, sometimes you take a turkey and you put it in the oven, and then sometimes you know, honestly, like, when it's done, you have to take it out.
I really don't even know what you're talking about there. I'm not, saying, you know how, like...
Nothing
know,
but sex.
I'm saying... Stop. Yeah, he was engaging in everything but sex. With the... No, you know, sometimes the post office comes, the postal worker comes, and he puts a letter through your into your mail
slot.
That's
exactly like my turkey in the oven.
But I don't know what you're talking about when it's done and you take it out.
I don't even know how the story goes.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain here. Goddamn government. Here's the thing.
The mail slot's generally a one-way street.
Yes?
That still doesn't help.
Wait, no. Let me take another run at this. Let's say you're there and you enjoy receiving packages in the mail. We all enjoy receiving like a brown paper package tied up with string.
Like for Valentine's Day or something. Yes.
Yes. Or uh-huh. any yes. So you enjoy receiving packages. Now, let's say you have a house and your house has you have a door. Let's say it's the back door to your house. Let's say your back door has an opening where the mail can go.
Like a slot in the back.
There's a slot in your back door. Now, let's say that you enjoy receiving large packages because you know, they're a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awful.
And let's say that the postal worker is delivering a package, but the package is actually so large.
Refrigerator.
He's right. Yes, you have ordered a refrigerator. Well done, Davey. From Amazon.com. And the postal worker comes there, but the postal worker who is on horseback, he comes and he is trying to deliver this large package for your enjoyment. And it's refrigerator, and it goes through the mail slot and just destroys the whole door.
Oh, really?
It doesn't just destroy the whole door. It actually destroys some cabinets inside your house. It tears a hole right through your stove.
Oh,
it rips out some of your carpet.
Hit the faucet and leaky plumbing.
Yeah, your plumbing is all messed up. The plumbing is all messed up. Your pipes are irrevocably damaged.
Oh.
And then you
found the guy.
And then you're dead. So that's what happened. Now, the fun fact, this is an absolutely true story. There is a movie called, a documentary called Zoo, which is about that case, because apparently, how do I put this? Apparently, a lot of people, apparently it was known that this postal worker on horseback would deliver a package to you if that was the kind of package you were interested in. And apparently many, many, many people had this postal worker coming to their house
Ew.
To deliver this package. So there's a whole documentary that is going to be playing at Sundance called Zoo, or which did just play at Sundance, called Zoo, which is all about this case in Enumclaw.
So who is the postal worker's boss? Like, isn't that guy?
The postal worker's boss...
He's got to have some liability here.
Yeah. We're just so deep into this, I don't even really know how to clarify this.
I don't even actually know what we're talking about anymore. I'm so confused.
It was, Jim Rufus joining us from Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice segue.
Hi, Hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. How are you?
I'm. Whoa, you sound terrible.
I guess I must be coming down with something.
Oh.
I don't think you. I think you're coming down with. You've come down with something.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you sound awful, my friend.
Yeah, I was feeling kind of funky yesterday, and it just sort of, I guess increased today.
Yes, I would say that it. Well, now I feel bad taking up your valuable time.
My time is not valuable. You can have as much of it as you like.
Well, that's the spirit. Way to devalue. Well, here's the thing: is I told a little bit of a fib to CNN. I told them that we wanted to talk to you about, I swear to God, gas measurement.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty cool story, actually.
And then I've got a little surprise for you. And so maybe you can explain this. This is the most confusingly written story. A consumer group is urging California's attorney general to investigate a North Carolina company's decision not to sell a gasoline pump that regulates fuel based on its temperature.
Yeah.
I don't understand what this is about.
Well, they call it hot fuel. Fuel expands inside the pump.
Okay.
And what happens is when you pump that gas, the expanded fuel goes in your tank, but the pump price is still the same. You get less gas per the pump price, and these new pumps will adjust that price based on the expansion of that fuel. The hotter the fuel, the less per gallon it should cost because you're getting less gas.
Ah, okay.
And so the oil industry, according to this consumer group, has pressured this company out of North Carolina into not marketing that because it will boycott its other products.
All right. Okay.
So this group asked the Attorney General to look into it. I think it's pretty cool. Plus, they've made this device that they can retrofit existing gas pumps that can allow these existing gas pumps to also regulate the price. And in states like California and Arizona, I mean, the oil company makes billions of dollars a year on hot fuel.
Seriously, and I don't mean to sound like some hippie nitwit, but it's about that. The oil company industry just infuriates me. I mean, it really is about time that we figure out, what is that thing, the sun that runs that creates everything in the universe?
Yeah.
It's about time for us to be using that. All right, well, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. I'm simply going to say this. Now, I hope that this isn't a mistake, but I hold in my hands, let's see here. Let me just read this to you. I got this from Michael in Seaside, who sent me this. I hold in my hands the DVD of a film called Freeway.
Oh, very cool.
Now, I want to make sure, I hope this is the same freeway that you are in. Here's the tagline. Freeway. There's a killer on the road and on the radio. From the producers of Highlander. Now, this is a movie called...
Really? The producers of Highlander? I love that movie. And they did that cheap-ass thing?
Well, I hope it's the same one. I remember we asked you at one point, like, what acting you had done, and you'd done some animated work, and then also this. Now, tell me if this sounds like... There's several movies called Freeway in the Internet Movie Database. This listener found one that he believes is it. Tell me if this is the same one that you were in. I'm going to read you a little description on the back. Freeway. There are 600 miles of freeway in Los Angeles. Every night, millions of angry motorists speed through its asphalt maze. Some of them have guns. One of them enjoys killing people. Now, a traumatized ER nurse, an acerbic talk radio host, and a stranger with a dark secret must join forces to stop the Bible-quoting madman. Boy, this really sounds good. Who has promised to promise the Panic City one final fast lane massacre. Michael Callan, Kenneth Toby, and Clint Howard, co-star in this. The fact that Clint Howard could be co-starring in something, co-star in this suspense thriller directed by Francis Delia that shocked audiences at the height of LA's real-life freeway shooting spree.
Now, was Richard Belzer starring in it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That's my voice you hear throughout is the radio.
All Movie Guide says it's, and I'm quoting now, a nail biter.
Really? I thought it was pretty boring.
Guess how much this guy paid for it brand new in the packaging.
How much?
$3.
Good for him. I think I got paid less than that.
He says, Rick, I got this for $3, and it's brand new, starring Jim Roop. Thought you'd dig it.
I don't even get credits on that.
No, you're not in it anywhere. Yeah. And I looked you up in the Internet Movie Database. I'm going to add you in the Internet Movie Database, though. I feel bad that you're not there. And then Michael in Seaside, he says, good times, keep it steady. Michael in Seaside, P.S.
Well,
hey, Sarah.
Watch for the animated Christmas movie coming out next year. I'm in those credits.
What is it called?
Christmas time is here again.
Christmas time is here again. I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch Freeway starring Jim Roop tonight.
You're going to be so disappointed. You got to really listen hard to hear me over Belzer.
Okay, really? And you've got to take, Rick, you've got to play it and record out.
I'm totally going to do that. And you know, the weird thing is, and I know this to be true, I embrace this, that I look a lot like Richard Belzer. And I'm okay with that. It's just, he is the way it is.
I would have never thought that.
I look like a young, look at him in the front. I look like a young Richard Belzer. And the weird thing is to see him as a talk show host, because I am aware that, regrettably, I do look a lot like him. It is kind of weird, actually.
I remember he was a pretty cool guy, I thought. I thought he was pretty funny on the set, and, you know, he didn't take that as, I mean, he was serious about it, but he took it as what it was.
No,
I mean, we're making a stupid movie.
Yeah, no, and he's a comedian by trade, or was anyway, so
I thought he was pretty funny.
Yeah, so no, I was so ecstatic to receive this in the mail today. So I'm gonna be watching this tonight, my friend, and I will be watching it thinking of you.
Well, that's very nice.
All right. Well, go get, I imagine we won't be talking to you tomorrow, so
why not?
Well, because you just sound terrible, man. I don't mean to knock you.
Well, I may be better tomorrow. This may be something that just sort of jumped on me, and we'll be over tomorrow.
I hope so. Or you know, you might be. You might be that guy that 10 years from now, Bill Curtis is going to be like, the first victim was, you know, blah, 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 year old James Roop, a reporter for CNN Radio. Roop had what he thought was a common cold. Then later, when blood began gushing from every orifice, he knew something was wrong.
Oops. I need a towel.
Fantastic. All right, well, get better, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
There you go. CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. Sounds terrible. All right. Take a break. We'll come back. Davey Nipples is here from Storm in the Balls. We'll have more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. And I swear to God, I won't talk about packages and mail slots anymore. I'll stop it. Oh, we got an answer on the Daniel Radcliffe, is it or is it not kiddie porn question. Fantastic. Let's make sure we excerpt this out and put this on the CES composite reel as well. 503, this whole hour. 503-733-2970. Stay right there. Back after this. I knew it wasn't true even then, though. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio, coming up at 3. Tom Lekas, Donna Mike at 7, et cetera, so on and so forth. We'll have more from Davey Nipples here in just a few. We'll welcome Dennis Pitsenbarger to the show in a skosh, as our Asian friends say. Later on, things and then stuff, followed by happenings and whatnot. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, pay heed. He is your God now.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Continues in the shooting of that store clerk in Southeast. He could be connected to other holdups. The guy was shot. 21-year-old Chester Yeon, still in critical condition. He didn't even work in the store, as a matter of fact. A friend of his owned it. So he decided to do him a favor and step in, get behind the register, and that's how it happened yesterday. Now, in the past, the Beaverton police had 4 armed robberies. They think this guy could be the same guy. 3 convenience stores, another at Denny's. All the witnesses said this guy looked about the same, either Hispanic or Asian, with a dark-hooded sweatshirt, demanding money. They're also looking for the getaway car. It's a burnt orange-colored 2005 or newer Chevrolet Corvette with a soft top, fine-spoke mag wheels, and lightly tinted windows.
So it just seems inconceivable that vehicle wouldn't have been spotted by them. Like, how many of those could there possibly be?
I know.
Had it repainted.
Yeah, maybe. It's really weird. It's because Belmont's not, I mean, it's a pretty heavily trafficked area. In other words, there's always people around. Is it Belmont is never dead?
Especially on Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's never dead. There's stuff, and that intersects with, I mean, you go up like just a few, you know, just a few hundred yards, and there's 39th. And then if you turn around, isn't it Belmont that if you turn around and you go back down, it turns into a forced right-hand turn.
Yeah, of course, it's onto Morrison.
Onto Morrison. I mean, it's Morrison, in turn, it takes you right down to, you know, the heart of the,
that's,
you know,
that neighborhood, like, all through there. It's just, like, stop signs on every corner, so.
The thing is, just when, you know, somebody had to have noticed, and it's right by a fire department. There's a fire station right there. So, yeah, all right. All right, that's depressing.
Well, Vice President Cheney's Chief of Staff, Scooter Libby, convicted today of lying and obstructing a leak investigation that reached to the highest levels of the Bush administration. Libby's the highest-ranking White House official to be convicted in a felony since the Iran-Contra scandal back in the 1980s. The case brought new attention to the Bush administration's much-criticized handling of the weapons of mass destruction intelligence on the run-up to the Iraq War. The new comedy, The Knights of Prosperity, has apparently not been so prosperous for ABC. The network has decided to pull the plug, which debuted in January after only 8 episodes. The Knights had only been averaging about 5 million viewers a week on Wednesdays. And that's it for now.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Rick, an American beauty, Mina Savari, was of age. I don't think that's true. I don't think so. I remember some scandal about her parents had to sign off on that. Because she's like, Kevin Spacey's all like gyrating on top of her and she's topless and whatnot. And she's really unattractive, which didn't help matters. Thora Birch, on the other hand, was only 17. Really? Well, okay.
Oh, well, see, there you go. That was a special friend.
Let's forget I was just leching about her. And then he signs it, Sweaty Nipples Rules. All right, 503-733-2. He's not referring to Thora Birch. He's referring to the band. Davey Nipples is here, and let's welcome another Rick Emerson show, our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Are you growing a beard?
No, I'm just being lazy.
Okay. It kind of works, actually.
I've had the Don Johnson-esque thing go before, but I just, you know what it is? I just got lazy. I get in the morning, it's late, I just hit the two razor thing around the neck, so it doesn't look like I'm a complete scag.
So you don't look like a mountain man.
Yeah, and then that's it. I got to film tomorrow, do some stuff, so I'll end up being all clean shaven tomorrow. I'll look like a new man.
Just put it off that you absolutely have to do it.
And as you guys are making fun of my bloated John Travolta-esque part of my life.
No!
I didn't say bloated.
No, just puffy.
You are a little puffy.
The best part of getting a little older now is the fact that my entire chin is now gray. So it's all downhill from here. And there's gray hair showing up in places I never thought I'd see it. And we'll just.
Why would you say that? Why do you got to put that image in my head?
He was talking about his sideburns.
Yeah, uh-huh. Really? Don't even talk about ear hair, dude. The other day, I'm like sitting there on the sofa and I'm watching TV and you know, you can sense sometime when you're being looked at, like you can feel somebody's eyes on you, and I'm watching TV and I'm, you know, and I'm just doing whatever, just sitting there, and I feel like the eyes boring into the side of my head, and I turn, I slowly, and I turn my head, and Lars is like, and I'm, help you, honey? And he's like, you've got all of this ear hair. and of course, I'm like, I'll pull it out! You know, just get rid of it now! You know, and I, of course, I labor under the illusion that once she's removed it, it's not going to come back. Either.
Right.
But now I know. Now it's like an ongoing thing I got to take care of.
That reminds me, it's Taylor Dane's birthday tomorrow. Did you know that, Rick Emerson?
Oh, I almost forgot, you little bastard.
What are you looking? Oh, yeah, it's my birthday. Not today, tomorrow.
How old are you, 35?
I'm not the...
Is that your profanity?
I wasn't, actually. I was going to say 5. I'm 4.
Going to be 34.
I remember when you turned 30.
Okay. You know...
I remember when you... I knew you were still in your 20s.
When I had vitality in life.
Mm-hmm.
When there was still a spark in my eyes.
Before the weight of the world crushed your soul.
Your flowy purple silk shirts. And before you were married, you had long hair.
Those were the days.
Would you like to continue to pile on? Anything else you'd like to say?
Huh?
I'd just like to continue. Is this because I haven't given you your birthday present?
Have I really known you that long? Yes, that is because.
Your birthday present's up in my office, actually.
You keep saying that. I don't want that big picture of your face on your wall.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, never mind then.
Remember this, if it's your birthday, next time you're in buying some alcohol or if you see the sign right by the counter, it says you cannot be served unless you're born on this date. And it was when you were in high school. That's the one that killed you.
Yeah.
Now it's past when I was in high school. So I'm like, wait a minute. I was in a bar when that happened.
I've talked about this before, but you know they're the worst. Maybe not the worst, but there are moments when you're growing older. Can I get you to kind of stay closer on that microphone?
I'm sorry, I don't know what to do.
No,
I don't know. Is this a studio?
Yeah, you got a loud voice, and so what happens is when you step back, you effectively are speaking through all three of these microphones at once. There's this horrible moment. I remember exactly when it happened to me. I remember everything about it. The first time I saw a centerfold in Playboy, who was younger than I was. And I remember the very first time I'm like thumbing through a Playboy and I'm like, well, let's see who this fine young lady is. And her name was Layla. And she had to know, this is the other thing. Her name is Layla. She was 19. I was like 24, 20. That is not a huge difference, but still you're like, oh, you know, and damn. Because growing up, those women are... They are older than you growing up. They're these sort of older, exotic sort of thing, these, you know, golden objects of beauty. And then she's like 19. And then she had to know, like, I was named for the song, but not the acoustic one, the electric one. And I was like, oh, God, it's so old. So old. Do you even remember? You probably don't even really remember the electric version of Layla, Sarah. I've heard it.
I don't remember it. But...
You probably really only know the acoustic version of Layla, right?
No, I know the whole upbeat, the... Yes, I know Layla.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just, you know, Because tomorrow we're going to have to go through that whole thing where I sit and list off all of the things that I remember that you don't, as I just sit and wallow in my own.
And you pass for tomorrow. You just drive your squishy butt to work tomorrow. It's going to be your birthday. You can eat as much pizza as you want.
I don't have to suck in my gut at all. I can just
you can whip out the old purple shirt, wear it around.
Wear my tie-dyed Zeppelin Apollo the Sun God shirt. Oh, good God.
And Scotty J told me he'd be your slave for a day, too. Like,
Scotty J, every day is that day.
I was going to say. Well, how does that mean? It's different from any other
welcome
day.
To every day of the week. This is coming tomorrow. I'm just playing nothing but Poison records for 4 hours. This is music, sons of bitches.
I like it when you scare everybody with, like, the song or two of, like, oldies. Everyone's like, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, that's what I do. Speaking of which. Anyway, so you, speaking of music, we're just trying to get to this top five, but while you guys are all here, because it's the top five that you guys will dig. Did Tim already leave?
I believe so.
He's rounding up the next hot story.
Sir, you seem like, is he back to being a
youth? Well, we haven't, Tim is a freebie today. We haven't been very nice to him.
No, it's not that we haven't been nice to him. It's just that Susan Reynolds thing. It just, like, took over the entire hour. So,
that's not really being nice, because he didn't get to do a lot of news.
I'm sorry. There's only so many hours in a day.
And I want to talk to you about the being a car guy. You saying the Corvettes are dead.
I didn't say,
they don't even make them anymore. I don't even know why they do. I mean, what do you need, a gold chain, a bald head? I mean,
I thought that they'd stop making Corvettes. I was thinking of Camaro. Though, apparently.
Camaros, they did stop making.
The Corvette seems to me, I don't pretend to be a car guy, so I come at it from a pop culture standpoint. And from my, I think Corvette and I think 1985. Like, it doesn't seem like a thing anybody would go buy these days. I guess it's because when I picture a Corvette, I still picture, like, the one with the big scooped hood or whatever the hell it is, where it's all like, long and...
Cokehead car.
Yeah, totally, totally, exactly. And it's like where you got as a signing bonus with the Knicks in 1984.
Right.
You know, that's exactly what I'm thinking of when I think of Corvette.
Well, yeah, and I mean, everybody, I mean, again, the pop culture side of you then puts it in Mark Hamill and Corvette Summer.
I'm not thinking the Stingray that, like, Otter is driving in Animal House. Again, I'm thinking the really tacky one... That had, you know, where like a guy with Oakley sunglasses and Guess jeans.
Oh, sure, eight ball jacket. Yeah,
totally. So
you'll wear that tomorrow, won't you? You have it.
I should totally dress in like my old clothes tomorrow.
I'm sure Dave Zinn will let you borrow a members only jacket.
Will that be your old black T-shirt?
What is that? Did you bust on Dave Zinn just now?
No, I'm not. But no, Dave Zinn has got the most elaborate. Absolutely, I am jealous of his. He has a complete collection of new members only jackets. I saw him wearing them the other day. I had one.
You can't
don't
knock
say Dave, you didn't have one.
You can't knock Dave Zinn.
You're totally making fun of him.
You can't bust on Dave Zinn.
I had a members only jacket. I thought it was cool when I wore it. I am. Come on, you and I are the same.
I never had a members only jacket either.
All right, I'm going to move to the other mic.
Seriously. At no point did I ever own that.
I am now at the news desk.
I actually didn't own a lot of, like, the really stereotypical 80s clothing.
I never had the zipper pants.
I never had parachute pants. A lot of that just because I went to a Catholic school and I couldn't. There was no point in spending the money. I couldn't wear them but 2 days a week.
You figured the priest would have liked all those extra zippers.
Totally.
Yeah, members only jackets with zippers.
I had the mullet. That's about it. I mean, I had the mullet and I had the pants that were pegged all the way down. They tapered all the way down and they were just like cinched off the blood circulation to your feet. That was about it. I didn't wear most of, like, I didn't have the fluorescent clothing or like any of the, like, I never wore like the Don Johnson
body glove.
No, I didn't wear that. I didn't wear that all. I had a lot of the surf, like the surf T-shirts that everybody had to wear.
Little No Fear
in the '80s. Totally, no. It wasn't even No Fear that it was like Gotcha clothing. That's what everybody my age wore. When I was in high school, everything said Gotcha or Hobie on it. Everything was like a surf T-shirt.
Well,
that was the deal.
You know, if you really want to go old school, you got to pull out like the corduroy Ocean Pacific, like light blue
Ocean
shorts.
Pacific. Oh, I had, dude. We might as well start because my birthday is going to be here. Let me work.
You don't mind that I'm just spacing, right?
No, because okay. I mean. No, when is your birthday again?
It's in October.
But the birthday, I can see from here, she's actually surfing fashion, which has nothing to do with the conversation.
You can actually hear her brain shutting down and getting into first gear during the conversation.
You guys have your fun.
Still surfing those 13-year-old MySpace pages over there.
Oh, dude. Okay, so let's stop. I cannot resolve this.
Bookmark that. I want to see
that.
I can't not resolve this. We're not going to get to the top five, so here's what we'll do. We'll have this discussion, and then we'll talk about this. You brought this car list with you.
Yeah, I just...
I wanted to do while Davey's here, Davey Nipples from Storm in the Balls, because he's a big car guy as well. I do have to clarify this, though. Susan Reynolds was here earlier, and we, the Rick Emerson Show and audience, are raising her child for her as part of a grand social experiment. But we were talking about kids and MySpace pages. And this is not her kid. This is a 13-year-old girl that Sarah knows kind of through somebody else. And Sarah was showing me this 13-year-old girl's MySpace page, where, for one thing, she's listing her age as 20.
Scary.
The photograph, the profile, and no, you bunch of pervs, don't email me and ask about it. The profile picture on this girl's, this 13-year-old girl's MySpace page, the profile picture, it is no nudity or anything, of course, but it is, how do I put this? It is, and I'm presuming they're both about the same age. It is the 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, they are.
It is a 13-year-old girl and a 13-year-old friend of hers. One of whom has braces, by the way, just to underscore the fact that, like, these girls are not legal.
Pigtails?
No, but one girl has, they're both dressed, but one girl has her tongue out and her mouth is positioned near a sensitive, yeah, a womanly portion of the other girl's body.
Wow. They really are growing up.
Yes. So, there you go. Kids do the darndest things.
I would say something in the...
You have a daughter, right, Dennis?
Yeah.
And the best thing is how both Dennis and, like, Davey, like, as I was describing it, and Sarah was, like, on her computer, but all heads in the room kind of went...
Did you guys see this? So did you want to see it?
No,
it's disturbing. It's so disturbing. So I'm so glad I don't have kids. I mean,
that scares the living crap out of me.
Yep.
And, like, you have no idea.
She's 13.
Yeah, I mean...
She's her friend.
It's, I mean, I...
And then also, this is another one.
Oh, one of the greatest, I mean, I can't even remember the comic, Chris Rock, the one thing he said that is so prominent that it stuck in my head, even before Dayton came, was the fact he said, as a man and as a father, I got one job. To keep her off the pole.
Off the pole, totally. As long as she doesn't turn out to be a stripper, you know,
and
like a crack whore.
I would say that girl right there has some metal objects in her life.
But they look like kids, though. That's what's crazy.
Well, I really do have sympathy for people who have kids, because it is, I mean...
Well, they emulate what other people do.
It's...
They're watching America's Next Top Model, and these girls are supposed to be, like, what's up and coming in the fashion world, and they get off in a wild, you know, hot tub party. What do you think's going to happen?
It's, and, you know, and I just know, and, you know, and...
I think it's not so much America's Next Top Model, it is, like, you know, like, the real world and Laguna Beach and all those, like, crap
shows. Yeah, you're right. I watched one the other night. It was supposed to be about, like, downtown L.A., and they're like, right. She's supposed to be a reporter. It was on, like, the E! Channel or something like that. And it's just basically them going from party to party and who's going to hook up with who next. And I don't know whether it's a fake documentary or if it's some sort of... I don't even know what it is. It's like, but that's it. It's just, oh, he's hot, she's hot, I hooked up with her, I hooked up with him, and all of a sudden they're in a hot tub doing jello shots off each other's bellies.
Yeah, it's so, I can't even imagine what it's like to have, and I could never have a daughter. I mean, there's no way.
And you know you'd be cursed with one. Not that it's a curse, but
it's harder. It's gotta be harder to have a daughter. You know, because boys, and I don't mean to stereotype again, but I think boys are a little more, I think they're a little more self-reliant. What I mean is, I don't think boys, I think boys are solitary and a little more, they can be loners a little bit more. I think girls are much more social by nature, and they function much more as part of a group, which can be a support system, but I think if it's the wrong group,
downfall.
You're going to end up in your own vomit in a gutter somewhere.
Now, have you ever heard that saying? It's like, you know, it's better to have a boy because with boys you only have to worry about one penis, but with girls you have to worry about all of them.
Yeah, totally.
You're screwed, Dennis.
That's my mom.
Yeah. Oh, no, here's my...
And Dennis, you know, I just know from looking at you, I mean, you know what a bastard you probably were, like, you were dating.
Oh, I would.
You know just what a dog you were, undoubtedly. There's just no other word for
it. That's the one thing that, like, got me. It was, like, having a child, it's a boy... And then I immediately thought of the teenage years, mm-hmm. because as a room predominantly full of men, we all know what little boys do to little girls.
Oh, yeah.
And I just couldn't bear that thought. How many years you got? Oh, like another...
Oh, she's 1.5. So yeah. At this point, and you know, the thing is, not only 1.5...
But you're already mentally unraveling about
totally,
it.
Totally, you're already unraveling out.
It has been
great.
The first time.
Here's a 15-month-old little girl that will literally, if you look at her and go, hi, Dayton, and smile, she will wink at you. Wink, one eye.
Have you seen her MySpace page? Your daughter's...
Oh,
I'm a secret member. I have the login. Yeah,
that's the best thing ever. And you know.
I had to type it up for her, actually.
Now, have you and Brandy already had discussions about, I mean, I know she's only a year and a half old, but I mean, have you already had sort of generalized things about, like, when she's going to be old enough to date and when whatever? And
well, and, you know, luckily, I, amazingly enough, did come from a pretty constricted family as far as I was the youngest and I was the only boy. So as they hung on to me for dear life to not grow up and become an adult, I stifled through the teenage years basically being a geek that never got any girlfriends. So I have that going for me. And then the other side is her parents, my wife's parents,
right,
were extremely strict. Like, didn't get out of the house. My wife never even drank till she was 19. Now, you would know it from, obviously, you've all been in a bar with her at least one time. You know, I love her.
Yeah, she made up for lost time.
She made up for a lot of lost time. But at that point, she was 19, so when she came home drunk and parked in the front yard, it was her insurance. So, I mean, it was, you know, that's the thing that I'm hoping to do is to at least instill that she won't explode or implode until she's 19.
Not going to work. And here's the thing, and that's what I'm saying, is like if she starts dating at whatever, 16, 15, 17, whatever it is.
13.
I mean, it's like the first time that some guy knocks on the door and, I'm here to take out your daughter. And you know what you will do? And I'm not trying to get in your head.
Oh, I own a firearm.
No, but here's the thing.
I own the first time
a guy comes to take out your daughter, you know what you will do? You will spend that entire time. Like, let's say she leaves at 7 and she's going to be back at midnight, whatever. It's going to be the longest 5 hours of your life because you will spend the next 5 hours thinking about every lie you ever told a girl. To get anything, is that every time you ever said, yeah, sure, I love you, baby. How do you unhook this? You know, it's like every time.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just saying. You'll think about every bad, manipulative, shallow thing you ever did to a girl, and that will all be playing in your head like a slow-motion horror film while she's on the date.
Well, I do have a teammate, and that's Grandfather. And Grandfather is 6'4", 300 pounds, ex-offensive lineman for Oregon,
yes.
and who also is a black belt in Taekwondo, who scared the... And I'm 6'2", 240, and he's scared... He scared the life out of me when I asked my wife for a hand in marriage. I went old school, took the dad aside, went downstairs into the shop to ask him,
right,
can I marry your daughter? He then opens the gun safe, literally, and showed me the submachine gun and device. And he also works at a wrecking yard and said, if you wrong my daughter, you will disappear.
Jesus Christ, was he serious? Probably yes,
but not so much in the delivery. You know, and I think between him and I mean, he's got the full-on 870 Remington polished shotgun.
Right.
And that will, I won't be the one that my daughter's date will be afraid of.
I think if you get into the habit of answering the door naked with a shotgun, that's going to...
I was thinking support stocks.
Whiskey in one hand.
Support stocks, maybe some boxers. Open.
And I totally had the, like, I, God, and I, you know, and me, and I was a pretty mild kid, but I still had, like, you know, it was like I was an F up in school and dressed in all my heavy metal shirts and, like, the mullet and just all scrawny and just drove up this beater car and mouthed off and was a smart ass and whatever. And I was, you know, I can't even imagine, you know.
What was it like the first girl that you took out on a date? When you actually had the call, when you had the opportunity to close the deal.
What do you mean? What was it like
for you? Well, for you. I mean, was it like, did you get the whole dad in TR?
Oh, I was that Rick. Just like in Parenthood, he's that Todd. I was that Rick. And it was a lot of like, are you going out with that Rick? And it was just, you know, and all of my friends... all of my friends were Catholic for some reason. It wasn't by design, but I just sort of lucked out. All my friends and a lot of the girls that I was sort of knew and was interested in, they were all Catholic. They had all, and if you're Catholic, a big thing is confirmation. When you hit, I don't know, like what, like 13, 14, something like that?
I was confirmed in high school.
Yeah, it's in high school. It's like when you're a sophomore, junior, and that's like when they put the stamp on you, like you are perma-Catholic. You know, it's a big deal. It's like when you take, it's like a second baptism. When you make the pledge that like, okay, I've been Catholic for 14 years, this is my vow that I'm going to stay Catholic. I am reaffirming. It's like reaffirming your marriage vows or something, but it's very serious. And you get a new name and everything, and they give you a second name. And it's a very, very serious deal for Catholics. And I was the only kid in the group. I refused to be confirmed. And I was, because I had already lost my faith, and I wasn't religious. And I was just like, screw that. I'm not getting confirmed. And that one fact, actually, as weird as it may sound now, that, like, queered it with all of my friends, their families, their parents.
Oh, did you get like the full? Well, he's not Catholic.
No, it was that, and it was like, and it was, you know, his parents don't live together, and his parents are divorced. My parents were getting a divorce.
Wow.
And it was, you know, and I'm like, again, a real Catholic kind of group of people. That was like a kind of a scandal that my parents had gotten a divorce, and, you know, and my older brother had been in jail, and,
wow,
you know, and it,
you
whatever.
Were a child.
Yeah, totally. And I was actually not.
It's all in Kennewick?
Yeah, and I actually was just a geek. I didn't do anything bad. I wasn't a delinquent. I just stayed in my room and read the Encyclopedia Brown books. But my family, like, was just bad news. Like, it wasn't me. It was, like, the rest of my family. And it didn't help that I was just a smart ass and just didn't take anything seriously, was lipped off. I thought everybody was dumb, thought I was smarter than everybody else, you know, and it's like, and even if you are smarter than everybody else, like adults and teachers, you're not supposed to let them know that. You're never supposed to, like, tip your hand that you're smarter than they are, because that goes badly. We got to take this one call about something else, and we got to break. Speaking of penises, Jody, hello.
Hi, I was wondering if Sarah's going to be judging that contest tonight at the Matador.
No, I actually can't. I have to work. I have another job. So I was, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do it. Hopefully I can do it some other time, but not tonight.
Is it still going on?
It is. It is. I think it starts at 10, and I think it's free, and it sounds like it's going to be hilarious.
This is a smallest member contest that Sarah was originally going to be judging it now. Did you find a replacement judge?
No, not yet. I have to call the guy.
Well, Jody, there you go. You got your plans for the night, so.
Excellent. I'm going to bring a whole group of girls.
Oh, right, cool.
There you go.
All right. There you go. Okay.
Shall we break?
Do we have to break?
We really do.
Oh, good God almighty. All right. Is it already 5:03? Sweet Jesus, where does the time go? Got into nothing. All right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson program. Stay there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's AM970, Solid State Radio. Saddest part of the broadcasting day. Here with Davey Nipples from Storm of the Balls. What's up? Now, can I ask this? If not, you just hit me.
Shoot.
I get a lot of emails whenever you guys are on the show, you or Storm or whoever, saying, like, what's up with that new Balls record? When can I buy that?
New Balls record, probably not happening anytime soon, but Storm is in the process of recording some new material right now.
Cool.
So it'll probably be a Storm Large record out soon.
All right.
And the end of this month, March 31st, Storm of the Balls will be playing at the Wonder Ballroom for another all-age gig.
Now, so. I've never been there. Is it a cool place?
Yeah,
oh,
it's very
a great
cool.
venue.
It's awesome. Room.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's March 31st?
March 31st. Tickets are on sale now.
All right. And it's stormlarge.com?
Yeah, sure. Go there.
Excellent. Yeah, why not? All right. Fantastic. Dennis Pitzenbarger, the Fuel Show this weekend.
Actually, we're going to have GM performance guru on. Bob Kreutz is basically like the head of GM performance. You might want to tune in for that because I know you're a big car guy. But basically, he's going to talk about the new 572, all the new high-performance motors from General Motors, talk a little bit about Pontiac's resurgence. And, of course, I'm going to put the fork in him and tell him, when can I really buy a new Camaro, which is supposed to be coming out in 2009. And for all the true butt rockers, now they're saying that the Trans Am is supposed to come back in 2011.
Really?
So as a Pontiac lover.
Is there really like a big clamor for that? People like demanding that the Trans Am come back?
There is a website called GM Insider that they have tallied that there's something like 100,000 people across the nation that would already pay full price for the car before it was produced.
Really?
Yeah.
The retro thing is still
that's
pretty
true.
Big.
Well, we got through this email. Rick, only say this in front of the two car guys if you want to hear them scream, but the reason you forgot about the Corvette is because it is the ugliest car ever made.
Depends on which year.
I don't know.
There's a few years out there.
I was going to say that 80s car looks terrible to me, but again, like the...
All 60s Corvettes are cool.
Yeah, they are. They're even bad. I know that. All right. All right, Dennis Pitzenbarger, The Fuel Show, and it's thefuelshow.com, Saturdays 9 to 11. Davey Nipples, stormlarge.com, more information there, and tickets are on sale there for the
and
March
Davey Nipples
show.
Also has a fan club on MySpace.
It's
the Davey Nipples fan site.
Oh, yeah. It's in my top 8.
Is it really?
It is. It's in my top 8. It really is sweet. All right, Sarah, do we have a... I'm going to read this most disturbing story ever because Davey didn't hear this. We're going to end the show on it up.
Does it involve a number 2 pencil?
Oh, you just... You want to be listening. Since the Rick Emerson show today focuses on the children, America's...
I don't want to hear this again.
...greatest natural resource.
It sounds good.
Dateline Bridgeport. A city man stabbed his 17-year-old wife multiple times and then handed the knife to his 2-year-old son, telling him, quote, "Now you stab, Mommy," police said Monday. For
Carmen Rodriguez was charged with first-degree assault, first-degree reckless endangerment, first-degree unlawful restraint, and threatening. Police would not say whether the child obeyed his father. Police said Furman Rodriguez had been arguing about his wife's alleged infidelity. Furman then picked up a kitchen knife and began stabbing his wife, at one point grabbing her and roughly cutting away most of her hair. After the victim was on the floor, bleeding from many wounds, police said, the defendant handed the knife to their young son and said, "Now it's your turn to stab mommy." Relatives are taking care of the child. Police said they later found plastic bags and large clumps of hair in a trash pan. Trash should have been outside. They go, the children, America's greatest natural resource.
What? Where was that?
I was in Connecticut. Normally, you think of that as just being Christian, God-fearing people.
Oh,
out there.
My goodness.
There you go. I like to leave people with a sort of, feeling at the end.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good job.
Mission accomplished. Well done.
Ouch.
All right. Hi, Daddy.
What time is it? How long do we have here?
30 seconds plus.
30 seconds. All right. So stormlarge.com and thefuelshow.com coming up tomorrow. Well, coming up tomorrow, we're going to get to all of this stuff. And I've got all of these. We got a lot of people asking us about this. The thing and the 13-year-olds and the MySpace and the whatever. It's like a lot of parents who have questions about this. So, well, I think we're going to end up talking about that a little bit more tomorrow. We didn't do this top five. And speaking of MySpace, we still never answered Seamus' question about being tracked down by a bunch of people he went to high school with. Also, tomorrow, I'll be sitting and lamenting my lost youth and pondering the fact that I am now...
Rick Emerson gets old.
And a very old Rick Emerson. Today, Rick Emerson is one step closer to the sweet embrace of the Reaper. So that's tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show. We want to thank Davey Nipples for coming in, Dennis Pritzenbarger as well, CNN radio correspondents Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and Steve Katzenbaum. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, and our PA is Scotty J. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn, who shall not be mocked.
I love his jacket, though.
Okay. As always, thank you for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow, kids. Don't let the bastards grind it down. Bye. It's your turn to stab mommy.